Welcome to the PodTech.net Info Talk series here at the Vortex Conference in San Francisco, California, with Ed Kemmons of Avnet, Chief Operational Excellent Officer. Welcome to the podcast.
How's that, huh?
That's an amazing title. I mean, obviously, operations. So talk about what that means. I mean, Avnet's a big company, a lot of moving parts.
That's right.
I mean, and a mistake is costly.
Well, that's true. We've built our strategy really around three pillars, couple that are obvious. One is growth. We've got to grow the business both in terms of top line and bottom line and profitability. That's the purview of our senior business executives. Another is people development, because you're going nowhere without great people. And that's the purview of our HR and our organizational development activities. The third, however, is operational excellence, because in a business with constant margin pressure and in a global world, and we are a global company, you have to be focused on process. You have to be focused on how to make your processes better, more efficient, and I'll add, more effective. And there was no natural leader for that because there's no department per se. In fact, it's anti-department. It's cross-department that operational excellence has to exist.
It's company-wide.
That's right.
So talk about what Avnet looks like these days, and then we'll jump into some of the operational excellence things that you're looking at. Avnet, how big is it now, and what are some of the moving parts that give some context to the listeners?
Well, as of our latest and 46th acquisition in the last 7 or 8 years, which we completed on July 5th, Avnet's run rate now is just a little north of $13 billion in annual revenue. We are in 64 countries, 300 locations around the world. That breakdown is roughly, round numbers, $8 billion in components sales. So we sell to OEMs worldwide, people who build electronic products.
So you're in the distribution business.
That's correct.
That's your core business.
We are a distributor. It's our only business.
No manufacturing, just raw distribution sales.
That's
of
correct.
Product, third-party products.
There are parts of our business that are service-oriented. I'll talk about that in a second. The other side of the business, which is about $5 billion now, is computer distribution. And we are a very large distributor for IBM and for HP. And at the same time, for peripheral companies that sell storage, EMC is a good example, for software companies like Oracle and Veritas, of course, they are now absorbed into another company. But we're continuing to focus on expanding our reach and our presence and our support of our value-added resellers. That's who we sell to there.
So basically, I mean, even though the web connects everyone, everyone looks at Dell, or they can go direct and people can self-serve, you know, even with Dell and other companies, I mean, still when you're moving product around, I mean, whether it's on a website on a direct basis, there's a lot of logistics. I mean, you guys are like almost as like logistically challenged as like FedEx and airlines. I mean, it's a lot of stuff you're moving.
Right.
Acquisitions, so you're integrating new companies. All kinds of challenges. So how do you tackle that? I mean, as an executive overlooking the big amounts of dollars, you know, billions of dollars that you're managing in top line, margins are getting small. You got to really keep that well-oiled machine going.
Absolutely. That's what operational excellence is all about. There are basically three things that a distributor does. Okay. We buy stuff, we handle stuff, and we sell stuff. I mean, we are the electronics grocery store. We are the wholesaler of all of these various parts. So we have to be great at materials management. We have to be world-class at logistics. So we've got logistics centers all over the globe. And we are the sales and marketing arm for our suppliers, mostly to reach that middle market where they can't reach themselves. And so there is a place in the world, clearly, for a direct model, and the direct model has been successful. But, for example, we've got over 1,000 bars just in North America alone, each of which has a sales force, each of which reaches out to customers across North America. And then we have a similar kind of thing in Europe and in Asia. And our OEM business now reaches easily 100,000 customers a year.
It's a lot. I mean, that business is never going away. But for the most part, like you said, it's logistics, materials management. How do you look at, from a management perspective, looking at technology, looking at how the world is today, how do you talk to people out there, whether it's a young executive, an entrepreneur, or a peer of yours, about your view on operational excellence? Obviously, it's not a siloed operation. It's cross-functional. Talk about some of the things you've learned and the challenges out there.
Well, my own background really is on the business side. I came up through sales and marketing. I've started businesses. I've run businesses within Avnet and previous to that. I more recently have been the CIO of the company and worked for a couple of years to focus our IT resources on solving business problems, not IT problems. Now I'm looking at operational excellence, and what I realize is that, and you just said it actually, operational excellence is a cross-functional responsibility. In fact, the function and the goal of operational excellence, which is process. So function and process are opposing forces. A function wants to control what it does, but that doesn't necessarily alone solve a customer's problem. So you've got to go horizontally to solve the customer's problem and to add real value for the customer, which means connecting all the moving parts from all the various functions in a way that streamlines the process, reduces cost, and gives you a competitive advantage.
So it's not just being smart and knowing the playbook. There's people issues. I mean, people have functions. They want to protect those, fight them. You have to really kind of ingrain that into the culture you mentioned earlier about HR and people. How do you go out and talk to your management and your team about that? And what do you guys do from a practical standpoint to get people kind of drinking that Kool-Aid, if you will?
It's a great question, and it is at the heart of how we're going to meet our objectives, and that is culture. We have built a training and development course starting at the top of the house. So for our top 350 executives in the company, we are delivering a two-day training course, which we're calling, coincidentally, a culture of excellence. And it's designed to give them a broader purview than they would normally have with only their current focus, which is worried about either materials management or logistics or sales or whatever their function, department, or geography might be. So the starting point is get the senior management on board. Now, my peers, my colleagues, the top executives of the company are 100% on board. Now we've got to get the next layers of the company on board. That's at one level. Now go all the way down to the 11,000 employees, because our next objective is engage the 11,000. And the way we're doing that is we've come up with a very creative and clever approach, which is literally a board game. And that board game is about, it's the training vehicle for getting groups of 8, 10, 12, 15 employees in every location worldwide to learn about Avnet, to understand what are the obstacles, what are the opportunities, what are all the moving parts, how they all work together, and understand how they fit into the picture. We're calling that the results program because our objective is to get them focused on changing their process that they understand better than anybody else, and then reporting it back up to us, not waiting for a tops-down command to move forward.
Well, we're here at the Vortex Conference in California with Ed Kemmons of Avnet. We also just heard from Google, a guy up Google, from employee who was up there giving a speech about Google and, you know, their innovation. And they're an engineering company. Obviously, it's a search business. It's a technology. It's an ad business. And their culture is innovation from a technical perspective. Your business is operationally challenged, and that's the key thing. So you're going to drive that culture from the top. Google also talked about some of the things they do with hiring. Do you guys have that same process when you bring in new employees? Is the same kind of grueling interview process? How do you get that culture ingrained in an employee? You got to educate them, but what's the plan going forward?
Well, just a small correction. You've used the word twice now, operationally challenged. I'd like to say we're challenging, but we're pretty good at what we do, so it sounds like we're defective in some way. And I guess the way I'd say it to you this way is we think we're the best in our class, but in order for us to get to our financial objectives, we've got to be world class. So we've got to be the best in all classes. When it comes to the onboarding of our people, needless to say, having just heard Google's presentation, our approach is very different. It's not to say theirs is better or worse, or ours being better or worse, but the fact of the matter is they're in a very different environment. They are in a very creative engineering base. They are literally designing products, whether you want to call their search tool a product or not. That's essentially what they're doing. So they're hiring engineering types. We hire broad arrays of people, from pickers and packers in the warehouse to salespeople, to people who own materials, et cetera, and they each have to be treated slightly differently because of the subcultures in their work, in their departments, and their geographical locations around the world. I'll bet we're more spread out than
you have more
Google
diversity.
Is.
You have more remote facilities. A lot of different systems involved.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So part of this results program actually trains people on all the various aspects of Avnet, and we're actually going to deploy that as part of our onboarding process.
Well, you obviously came from an IT. You said you ran the IT groups as CIO of mm-hmm. Avnet, and now you're overseeing all the excellence of the operations for the company. What did you learn coming out of that role? Obviously successful. What can you share with folks out there in terms of, you know, what you really walked away saying, hey, this is a real impact in terms of all the minutia and, you know, service level architectures and, you know, out tasking and all the buzzwords. Bottom line, what can you distill and share with someone what you've learned and they can take away?
Well, my first premise, which I held to and has proven at least to me to be true, is there are no IT problems. There are only business problems. And all of the technological advances that occur are important. And you do need people who understand them. And we have a brilliant team of people led by a CTO that is world class. But they need to understand that they have to fit into a larger picture. So we've been very careful not to get hung up on the latest thing that comes along. There needs to be an architecture. There needs to be standards. There needs to be, above all else, discipline. We got enamored over years past with the latest technology. And what that means is you bought something with a five-year life and a five-year depreciation, and 3 years in, something better came along. So you wrote it off. We don't do that anymore. You buy it. You make it work, you own it, it fits into an architectural strategy, and over time you get better and better and better. It's a very iterative process.
Yeah, you mentioned that it's kind of the new culture. Are you also, you mentioned about the business problems, great point. Are you finding that the IT culture these days, different from years ago, 10 years ago or so, that people are more business savvy or more aware of that there are real business issues?
I mean, in Avnet they are. There's no question. We've spent the last couple of years training them that way, being focused that way. And, oh, by the way, they reside with their businesses, whether it be in Europe or Americas or Asia, and even the buildings that the business people work in. They are not sitting in a central place. There's no technical ivory tower. They are sitting there every day so they can understand what are the real problems that the businesses are facing. In fact, we found out something very interesting in our analysis of work, and that is if you ask somebody what they do, take them to a conference room and have them draw it out for you, they will get it wrong. Now you say, how could they get wrong what they do every day? And the answer is they'll leave parts out. The way you really want to understand what they do, watch them do it. As someone said to me a couple of weeks ago, you want to understand the order process? Staple yourself to an order and watch it flow through the system. And then you'll know what really happens to an order.
That's great advice. You know, I can see that happen. That's great advice for folks out there. Ed Cummins from Avnet, great advice. Get excellence. You have a world-class operation. Get an architecture, standards, and educate people through the culture throughout the organization. Thanks so much for the podcast.
My pleasure.